Hi guys, Paddy here once again. Thank you, as always and ever, for downloading the podcast or streaming it wherever you are. This is the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with ME and a microphone, and that's me, Paddy. Last week, let's start off where we should begin and say thank you very much to Rita Vives from MECFS Foundation South Africa, who was on last week's show. That's episode 12, if you're looking to listen to it. Really nice little chat I had with Rita. The work her foundation is doing in South Africa sounds really great. And the fact that it's the only organization of its kind and it's spreading out even beyond South Africa is excellent. Obviously, whenever we have these kind of chats, you know, we have to. It goes without saying, I suppose, but say it anyway. It's sad that these sort of things have to exist, you know, and the state, the one where she was describing medical fraternity's opinion and relationship with MECFS sufferers in South Africa, I have to say it made me very grateful. I know a lot of people probably rightly complain about the state of things in the UK, but at least I am currently in receipt of benefits that make life that little bit easier. And I do, you know, I have a doctor who acknowledges the existence of MECFS. I have a doctor appointment. When is this? Yeah, between the next time, before we speak again, I've actually got a doctor appointment, and I'll be bringing up my MECFS then, and I'll let you know how that goes. Every time I go to the doctor, whether it's for an ME related thing or it isn't, and usually it's not related to ME directly, because I've discovered multiple times that really the answer is yeah, it sucks, yeah. Yeah, sucks to have that illness. I understand. Yeah, no, there's nothing we can do. And but every time I ask, you know, are you aware of any new thinking? Is there anybody else I can speak to? Is there any more tests, research, or anything that you've read recently that we could maybe try? I'm happy to be a guinea pig. The answer has consistently been the same, and that is, you know, it sucks to be you. Nah, that's a bit unfair, isn't it? It's a crappy illness, and that and there's nothing new. See you again in half a year. I don't currently take any medication. I don't think I've ever actually. Obviously there isn't, but I haven't taken any medication to directly help my ME ever. I did have, I think, sleeping tablets early days, but I think, like a lot of things, and perhaps doctors recommend, they didn't work. I don't sleep too bad these days, I have to say. You know, I can get a good 6-7 hours in. It's just that waking up and, you know, not really feeling like I've had 6 or 7 hours sleep. That's my symptoms. Yours might be different. I understand from Twitter, they often are. Okay, so where did I begin there? Yeah, thanks to Rita. That was a really nice chat. Go back, listen to it. We've had several guests on now. We've had, I'm going to forget a name now. See, I launched into this sentence and thought, halfway through, you're probably not going to remember, folks, are you? I'm going to, though. I've got them in my head now. I'm stalling for time and I've remembered them. So let's launch into it. We had Maggie. My wife was our first guest, and I still think that episode is really worth going back to, because it was getting that perspective of somebody who you know, lives with and loves somebody with ME and how that affects them. I think it was a really good chat that Maggie, or presentation that Maggie gave us, and I really think you should go back and listen to it. I think it was episode 7. I think, but just go and scan through your podcast app or look on the SoundCloud stream, you'll find it, and I really recommend, if you haven't heard that before, and if you've got loved ones and family members who maybe struggle with your illness, or maybe don't, or they struggle and they don't tell you that they struggle with your illness, maybe introduce them to that, because I think it was a really wonderful, honest and open chat and sharing of experience. After that, we had 2 weeks later, 2 weeks, 1 week, we had Jess Goiter, who came on the show and chatted about her experiences. And then 2 weeks after that, Jack Croxall, and then Retha, 2 weeks ago. So we're doing well with guests. I'm trying to have them on every 2 weeks. I've got one lined up for next week already. I'm quite excited about it. I won't say any more now. But it'll be another nice one, I hope. You know, it's always my hope. And of course, I will give you the details at the end of this little chitty chat. Just me this week, I'm afraid. But I'll give you the details at the end of this little chitty chat. And, you know, please do get in touch if you want to come on the show. Like I said, you're in a queue. And you will get the opportunity. I'll reach out to you. But if you want to jump the queue, if you feel you've got something burning to say, then please do. Please do, you know. Like Retha last week continued that theme we've been having bubbling in the background for the last 3 weeks about parenting and Emmy. And I'm still really looking for people with experience of that. And I see on Twitter there's an awful lot of you who are currently going through that. So if you are anticipating a child or currently working or dealing with a child and you have ME, we'd love to hear your experience. I think that's a fascinating subject. And, you know, also at the same time, I appreciate if that is your situation, you're probably far too busy to sit down for half an hour and chat to me over Skype. And I appreciate that too. So I hope you're enjoying listening. And when the time comes, then it'll be great to have you on. So, what are we going to talk about today? Let me take a coffee sip and think. That sounded like a good one. I just came back from I'm not going to call it a run. That would be far too grand a term. The start of a run. I spent the day yesterday watching Marvel movies. I wasn't feeling very well. I there's not much more I could have done, right? So I was sofa bound yesterday. So I spent the day watching Marvel movies and was anticipating doing the same thing today. But decided that I wanted to try and introduce a little bit of healthiness into that, a healthy intervention. And I'm gonna really try and choose my words carefully over this section because I'm going to tell you my experience, right? That's all I hope I ever do. And I'm really serious about that. I'm not, as I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm not the guy who's going to stand on a soapbox, all right? I'm the guy who'll build the soapbox, okay? If you have something to say, if you think you've got a cure, or if you want to come on here and say there is no cure, come on the show, you will have your platform. I'm not the guy to say one thing or the other. All I'm going to ever do is share my experience, I hope humbly. And, you know, there's a good reason for that. I'm not a big fan of sharing my opinions, but I am a big fan of giving people the opportunity to share their experience. And that's where I hope this show lies. If you're looking for the answer of what the heck is this show, it's that. It's giving people, including myself, a platform to share their experience. So my experience was this morning I got up and as an intervention of apart from watching the Marvel movies, you can bet your rear end after this recording I'll be going on to Age of Ultron. I went out for a little run. I started Couch to 5K week one again this morning. I have basically cut out all my other responsibilities. I guess we started doing this show in November. And until recently, I have been volunteering dog walking twice a week or once a week. I have been doing driving lessons. Try and learn how to drive. I have been helping out again, volunteering, managing inquiries for a local charity coming in on a telephone. I've been doing that. All that's based at home. I've cut all those out: the driving lessons, the dog walking, the managing the phone. I've removed all my responsibilities because I just could not continue them. You know, it's things. I couldn't say whether things are getting worse or if actually things have always been bad and I've been fighting in the wrong way against them. I'm not sure. And I'll turn my phone off. My Apple Watch indicator notification sound off. Apologies for that. So yeah, I've removed all my responsibilities. So I was sitting watching the Marvel movies yesterday and I was like, you know, I could do something now. I have maybe time, or I'd like to do something. So I went out this morning and I did Couch to 5K week one, which, you know, is 5 minute walk, then 7 times, 60 seconds light jog, 90 seconds walking. So it equals about half an hour. Did that, and already feeling very tired, but I don't have anything else to do today, or tomorrow, or the day after, or the day after that. All I'm doing now is this show. You know, that's kind of my primary thing in life at the moment, is this show. And I'm very grateful for that, and I'm happy with that, and I'm comfortable with that, and I'm accepting of that. Now, I'll talk briefly about why I did that, and that's because, as if you're an avid early listener, a cup of tea. Right, that's it done. If you're an avid listener, you'll know that 2016, I was absolutely bedbound, pretty much. And then I had the crazy idea that I wasn't going to live like that with my ME and wanted to fight it in some way. So decided just out of the blue and inspired, well, not out of the blue, inspired by my wife, Maggie, doing some running that began with Couch to 5K, that I was going to run a marathon. Because that's, like, you know, as you're probably getting to know me, that's how my mind works. It's that all or nothing. So I was bedbound, so I thought, what's the opposite of that? So I did that. So I started with Couch to 5K, then I went into, you know, a 10K, then a training, then I trained for a marathon. And then my wife and I, I'm delighted to say, in March or April of 2017, ran the Rome Marathon and finished it. And that was fantastic. But it's really important to say, and I know now from Twitter and other places that this is the experience of many people, that wasn't a cure, right? It did mean whenever I put all my efforts into running and didn't have anything else in life, I was able to train 3 times a week, 4 times a week, including a long run. So I was able to, you know, and I don't think I ever missed a session due to my illness. I never did. I just put this running first and then allowed myself to be ill all the rest of the time. And I was able to train and go out for, you know, in the latter stages of training, 18, 20 mile runs, and then fly to Italy and do the Rome Marathon. And all that, but it didn't cure me. I thought it had. This is my first experience of this, you know. I thought, I'll do something crazy. It worked. The next week after getting home from Italy, I called my old job and said, I'm ready to come back. And a year later, had a terrible crash. And that leaves us, you know, to here. That was coming up to about a year ago, and I've been out of work since. And I'm a little smarter now. So with the running, it's not a cure, right? Gradual, and what is a slow build-up of, if you start from a low base and slowly increase and slowly increase and slowly increase it, essentially what we're talking there is a variation on graded exercise therapy, aren't we? Which I know you feel strongly about out there. And it works for me insofar that it makes me feel good about myself. It makes me feel I have a bit of control. It gets me outside. I'm stubborn, so it's very rare. And like I said, I went through entire marathon training and didn't miss a day because I just said, I'm going to train, then I'm going to be ill. And I could do that. It may have been more damaging than it was good. But at the same time, I don't think anybody's going to say, crossing a finish line of a marathon, hobbling, still moving faster than a walking pace, I'm not saying anyone's going to say that's a bad thing. You know, obviously it's a huge achievement, gives you a great sense of self-worth. It was a wonderful bonding experience for my wife and I. It was a moment to be incredibly proud of. It wasn't a cure. So I'm not thinking this time I'm going to just slowly build up and, you know, I'm not even saying, goodness me, I'm not saying I'm going to run another marathon. I'm just saying I did Couch to 5K week one today and it felt nice because I guess I'm going to spend the rest of the day on the sofa anyway, right? I feel that in me bones. So why not start off that way if the day was going to be the same as yesterday anyway, you know? I don't think it changes a heck of a lot, but it makes me maybe feel a little bit better. And maybe the people who care for me and love me, maybe it makes them feel a little bit better. I'm not going to go around advertising the fact that I did a run because I think that also gives people the wrong idea. And I'm slowly working out who I can tell and who I can't. I've got close friends and loved ones that I can say, oh, I did a bit of running today. And they'll be like, that's excellent, but they'll understand what that means. There are other people I know now who I could say that to and they'll start sending me job adverts. So you learn these things. This is all about my experience growing in ME, and I wouldn't have this. As I keep saying, and our guests keep confirming, the collaborative verification and confirmation of the online space, of the online support community of ME, people with ME, CFS, it's fantastic because I know now that these experiences I'm having are not unique. They are not alone to me. They're not solely mine. A lot of people have gone through this, and that's really nice. I think that identification is so supportive. It's really excellent. Went for a little run today. I'll let you know how it keeps going, but I'm doing it this time knowing that it's not a cure. It's maybe just something to make me feel a bit better about myself and get me outside. Yeah, it was a beautiful day here in Ireland yesterday and I saw the sun. To be honest, I had to close the blinds a little bit because it was getting in the way of me watching Iron Man. That wasn't very nice, was it? Not very smart. We'll see what happens. That's all. Not a cure though, but it makes me feel a little bit better. All right, let's move on. Really lovely news came in Twitter just yesterday that the Millions Missing Day has been announced. And that is coming up. It's going to be a week, in fact. May the 5th to May the 12th, with key events happening on May the 12th. Millions Missing, if you don't know what it is, Google it. Check out the hashtag. It's all over Twitter now, and I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you probably know what Millions Missing is. I've attended the last three Millions Missing, and I've really got a lot from it. The first one I went to, I think, may have been one of the first or the first Millions Missing, and we went to the now currently unoccupied government building in Belfast, Stormont, excuse me, and there was a banner up there. There were representatives. It was my first time really meeting other people with ME. I was a bit scared. I didn't really talk to anybody. I was a bit nervous. But what they were doing was leaving the shoes outside this government building, the seat of our government, whenever we have a government, which we don't at the moment. They were leaving empty shoes with a little message about what they were missing. And I left a pair of shoes outside that building on that day, and it made me very sad because it kind of brought into focus where my life had ended up at the time, and I wasn't really that accepting at the time. So I left a pair of shoes and took a photo of that and very briefly kind of interacted with people, but not really, because like I say, it was my first time talking to people, and I was tired, first of all. I was fatigued. And also, whenever I'm not feeling it, I'm not really a mad people person, which seems a bit odd. I'm much more comfortable behind a live microphone, whether that's in front of a thousand people or talking to you guys now, pre-recorded. I'm much more comfortable behind a microphone than I am talking to somebody one-to-one in person, or in groups. I just don't function as well in those situations. Maybe it's an ME thing. you know, because there's so much input. And I can control the input a bit more whenever I'm the one with the microphone in my hand. It's probably, let's say it's that rather than I just have a monstrous ego. Let's agree it's the former, not the latter. So I went to that Emmy Millions Missing event. Then I went to one last year with Maggie at Belfast City Hall. And there was some good publicity and photos there. And I met some more people from the Emmy community in Northern Ireland there. I'm looking forward to it again this year. It is nice to a lot of the people also I might know from Facebook or Twitter, but it's nice to put a name to a face. You know, it's kind of like going to the old Star Trek conventions or wrestling shows, but about an illness. That doesn't work at all, does it? That's why would I, that's, you know, that's a stupid analogy. That just you know, makes me sound like an idiot. All right, let's move on. So yes, Millions Missing is coming up 5th of May to the 12th of May, with big events happening 12th of May. If you're a little bit isolated, but if you're able to get out and about a little bit once in a while, like I am, then it might be a lovely opportunity to meet people in your area and to raise a bit of awareness for Emmy. It usually does get quite a good of press, a lot of press coverage. People are getting pretty good at that. It's nice just to pop along. First time I went, I popped along for 20 minutes, but it kind of felt good to do that, you know. It's kind of sad. We are the Millions Missing, so it is kind of further confirmation that this illness that I have is shared by others, and that's, you know, while it's comforting, it's also incredibly sad. So it's a challenging time for me interacting in person with people with ME. Like I've said before, I kept away from online and in real life ME communities for the longest time because I didn't want to be reminded of my illness. Now I'm kind of clearly, because I'm doing this show, embarrassing it a little bit. And I think I've found a position that I'm comfortable with within that group. That being the fella with the microphone. And it's good if you can get out there. But I'm sure, obviously, it's Millions Missing. It's Millions Missing. That's the name of it for a very good reason. There'll be a massive amount of online activity. We'll try and think. I'll maybe bring, if I can get out to my local event, and I don't know where it is, what it'll be yet. Waiting to hear that. I might try and bring my portable microphone and chat to some people there. We'll see if we can do a special. That'll be really cool. Just to raise that reminder, Millions Missing. I always, you know, I get a lot from it. It's our day. Keep an eye out for that. But I'm sure you're already, you know, aware and excited. Excited might be the wrong word. I'm aware of it. So, I said last week, before the Wreath interview, that I wanted to talk about going to a concert this week. So, the week ago, I went to a concert with Maggie. It was in Dublin, and it was to see David Duchovny. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, I don't know what your tastes are, but maybe check out his albums. They're really good. I had a fantastic time. We got to meet David Duchovny as well. Went for the meet and greet tickets, and don't regret that one bit. It was a lovely chap, and it was fulfilling a almost lifelong affection on the part of my wife for the man himself. So it was a big moment for her. So we had a really good time. The trip itself was the first kind of major trip I've taken since last summer. Well over 6 months. It involved, as I said last week, getting a bus for 30 minutes. No, sorry, a train for 30 minutes, then a bus for 2.5 hours. It involved an overnight stay in a hotel, and then the same again back. So that's an awful lot for me. That's especially public transport, as I've said before, it just messes with me head. I don't know why it's specific to, well, there's probably lots of reasons. It's the confusion, it's the noise, it's the people, it's the having to follow directions. It's the things can be changed at the last moment, which spins me out. It's very difficult. I can't do it nowadays at the moment without Maggie. But we did all that. So we got to the event. There was a minimum of queuing outside, thankfully, because we'd got those early entrance tickets. And we got there to the venue. It was a very small venue, which was really nice for the concert. As soon as we got in and we listened to a bit of the sound check and we got to meet Mr. Duchovny, then were looking for seats. So we found some seats, and I realized, having been to a couple of you know, a few concerts in the past, when healthy and also when on the way to not being healthy, I realized these seats are going to be no good. It was just like a bar, essentially, you know, a large bar, an academy venue, and realized once the music starts, people are going to stand up, they're going to be at the sides, they're going to be down at the front, we're not going to see a darn thing. But I can't stand up for that length of time due to my illness anymore. I know this. So I was sitting there and I did something. I thought of something that has never occurred to me. This is the first, you know. And that was, well, they have the accessible seating, don't they? And boy, that was not easy, that thought. Like I've said to you many times, I'm not a huge fan of my illness. Who is? I'm not a huge fan of really acknowledging my illness massively. I know that seems odd, seeing as we have a podcast about it, but I'm not a fan of allowing my illness to become a primary label or defining feature of me, right? So I realized, though, that I would have to make use of this if I was in any way to enjoy the concert. I didn't have the confidence to deal with this myself. I had to ask my wife, Maggie, to do all the following, which was the first kind of pang of guilt and shame that I felt, that I didn't have the confidence to deal with it myself. I had to rely on her, and I asked her to go and talk to one of these stewards and ask if tell them that her husband was disabled, and if we could get access to the balcony area at some point, which she did, because, you know, obviously she's fantastic and cares for me, and came back and said, yeah, that's absolutely fine, they'll let you up, you know, when they open the main doors. So it was grand. And then I started thinking, and, you know, I'm always going to tell the truth to you guys, you know that. Here's the things that went in my head. I don't have a stick. I don't have a wheelchair. You know, I've been popping to the bathroom perfectly fine. Do I need to, in some way, demonstrate a physical, let's say, emphasize my inability to move as swiftly as I would like whenever the clerk lets me up the stairs to the balcony? Obviously, you know, saying this, there would have been a lift, and it was for people in wheelchairs as well, I think. But you know, we saw the stairs, and that's where we were going to be let up. which really obviously felt awful. So I'm saying I know, appreciate, and finally accepted I had a legitimate reason for asking, could I sit in the accessible setting, because I can't stand up. You know, I need a seat throughout this entire thing. Other people are not as unfortunate. They can stand up. They want to stand up, but I would not be able to see past them in that eventuality. So I would need a position where sitting down and having an unobstructed view is something that I should maybe expect if I don't have a choice in the matter. I accepted that. And then thought, right, yeah, but I don't look that way, do I? It's that age-old ME issue. And I thought, well, should I limp when I go up the stairs? Should I take my time and grasp hold of the banister and struggle a little bit going up the stairs? I mean, Jesus Christ. Apologies if that offends you, but that's terrible, isn't it? That's just an awful way to think. And then guilt. And the guilt of not having a physical evidenceable ailment symptom at that moment. Oh, I wish I was sicker. I wish I was sicker today, and then they would be. I wouldn't feel guilty about going up to the accessible area, which I know and have finally accepted that I should be in, but others might not see it that way. And then the shame of thinking that way. Very, very difficult. Little thought process I went through as I was sitting there, surrounded by happy people, excited for David Duchovny to come on stage. In the end, you know, the guy came over and said, "Hey, you want to go upstairs?" And I just went upstairs. I didn't emphasize anything, to be honest. You know, I was a little bit tired, so it might have taken me a little longer to get up the stairs, but I certainly didn't limp, I certainly didn't grasp, I certainly didn't ask for help, because there have been times when I needed that to get up and down stairs. Maggie has had to assist me up the stairs in our house and undress me for bed. On that day, I didn't need that, and I didn't, in the end, decide to emphasize my condition in any way, or elaborate it, or in any way. But that's a thinking that I should not have had to go through. And that's part me, right? That's on me. It's also on the illness, which is the son of a bitch. And it's probably also on, I can't say it's on society's culture's fault, but I can't say it's on my, the way I maybe view, the way people view my illness. And I could be wrong, right? I could be wrong. I know other people have stories where they've met people and had interactions where they've been outright been called liars. I don't have that experience. Actually, I've never had anybody be cruel or mean about my illness, or in any way disregard or disrespect or dismiss it. I haven't really had that. No one's outright said, "Oh, that doesn't exist. It's all in your head." I've never had that, but didn't stop me thinking that way when I was going to go up to the accessible seating, which kind of sucked. But then once I got up there, I you know, I was up there and I realized this is where I should be, and I was okay with it. And, you know, I kicked myself in the ass a little bit, and we went on to have a very enjoyable evening. Really did. I'm very grateful. And I have to say to the Academy in Dublin, they were absolutely fantastic in dealing with somebody with my illness. And they were nothing but lovely. And they, you know, they asked us if we needed things and checked in on us. So I'm really grateful for the treatment that I received, because it was my first time experiencing that. I maybe made it more difficult than it needed to be inside my own head. I won't feel that way again, I hope. We have, in June, we're going to see the Backstreet Boys in Dublin again. And 2 days after getting home from Dublin, I phoned the ticket office and said, "Hey, look, can we get accessible seating, please? Can we change my ticket to accessible seating?" And they were absolutely fine about that. So I've done that. I hopefully won't go through this guilt and shame again. It was the first time for me, so perhaps you feel these experiences, and if you do, well, there you go. There's a little bit of experience from me shared, so if you go through those emotions, you're not alone. Get in touch. Let me know if you've had similar experiences. Like, I want to really make clear, at the Academy in Dublin and anywhere else in my life so far, nobody has made me feel that my illness wasn't legitimate. Nobody has. But at the same time, I went through that emotion and that thought process. I know other people don't have as pleasant experiences as I do, and you'd have reason to go through the thought process I did. I don't really have those reasons, but I still went through them. So, yeah, that was my experience. But like I say, in the end, had a lovely evening, and the staff at the OT Academy, the Academy in Dublin, were really friendly and lovely and supportive. And I had a great time. So thanks to the Academy, and thanks to David Duchovny, who was really, really nice. And it was great to meet him. So, you know, it was a good trip all in all. I think that's kind of it. We've gone like 30 over 30 minutes already on those two subjects, running and concert going. I think I'll leave it for that this week. Next week, we will have a guest. I'll follow the Twitter feed for more information on that. So that is @ZeroAllAboutMe. If you want to share your experiences, then DM me, tweet me, or email at itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. We have a closed Facebook group for discussing the show or sharing experience in a more kind of maybe a more private way if you want to. That you just need to go on Facebook, and I believe this is fixed now. You should be able to find it. Let me know on Twitter or on email if you can't find it, but it should be, just search on Facebook for It's Not All About Me podcast, and you should find a closed group and ask to join it, you know. It's closed because people on the group have asked me to make it closed, so they can be a bit more honest with their feelings and share, you know. It's a small group at the moment because I was having problems. I must have had settings set wrong. I believe it's fixed now. Let me know if you want to come and join it, and you know, we can get to know each other a little bit better. That'll be cool. So yeah, all those details, the Twitter, the Facebook, the email, are in the notes below. If you're wherever you're listening to this, just click on the show notes or whatever, or look at them and you'll find those. And if you want to come on the show, let me know as well. Use those same things, Twitter, email, Facebook, and we'll line you up for the next show. You can be one of our next guests, and that would be lovely, because I really want to, you know, I'm building that soapbox. Come stand on it. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Also, if you wouldn't mind, if you're enjoying this show, and I know we have quite a few regular listeners now, if you haven't already, subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on SoundCloud. That helps this podcast get more widely known. I know I've heard from people all over the world now. New Zealand, Australia, America, United Kingdom, Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Amsterdam in Netherlands, Denmark, Abu Dhabi, all over the world people have gotten in touch to say they're listening to the show. So subscribe, and if you feel like it, even leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this, on Apple Podcasts. If you would take 5 seconds to leave a review, that'll help us appear in searches quicker. If people are looking for support or shared experience with ME, CFS, the more subscribes we have, the more positive reviews we have, the more likely people are to find us and join this little chat we're having now. So if you don't mind, if you've got a second, and if you believe in it, you know, no pressure, then that would be really cool if you could do that too. Subscribe, share, and review the show. All right, that's me for this week. I'm off to watch Avengers Age of Ultron. You have yourselves the best day that you can. And take care of yourself and each other. Till next week. Have a great one. Bye.